Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Can I just talk to you, just kind of keep it raw and real today? Is that okay? It's a privilege and honor to be here. I am the lead pastor of the Opelousas campus at Our Savior's Church, and it's been our privilege to start that campus. Heidi and I did 10 years ago, and how many of you have had an opportunity to go to a service in Opelousas, or how many of you have seen the building? You're driving by, you see it over there on the right, and thank you. I want to thank you for your sacrifice and this campus specifically. I can remember 20 years ago, us talking about planting churches. And we were in a room probably about this full. And we talked about one day there'll be more than just this campus. There'll be other campuses. And I want to thank you because y'all have been like the aircraft carrier of Our Savior's Church, where young pastors and ministers were the airplanes. And y'all just cruise through Acadiana and let some of those jets take off and go on and do their missions for the Lord. And y'all just keep sending them out. Y'all just keep raising up, building a new airplane and keep sending it out. And I'm thinking of people like Pastor Rob Longmire and Dr. Scott Adams, and some of your worship teams have gone to other campuses, and y'all have always been the giver. Y'all been like the mama. Whatever everybody else needs. You know, mamas don't ever take care of themselves. They take care of everybody else. And this campus has been like the mama, the womb, and it all began right here. And I'm asking that God would return back to you 100 times over what you've sent out, and that he would do that again right here. Can you say amen? Thank y'all for what you're doing. Give yourselves a hand. We're so proud of you. Obviously, we're in 2020. It's crazy. COVID, Delta, Laura, Zeta. It's a weird season. Half of Opelousas is mad at me right now. Oh, they're mad at me. You know, there's mask versus no mask. There's Republican versus Democrat. And it doesn't matter what decision you make, even in the church. Children, no children. People are mad. Didn't matter. If you'd have done it the other way, then the other half would have been mad. It's been just one of those seasons. By the way, I'm fine with it. I just want y'all to know that. It doesn't bother me. But it has been a weird season, and God is speaking in the middle of it. And if I could just take y'all behind the scenes just a little bit, kind of if I could take you into what we call it our executive meeting. That's where all the lead pastors come together with Pastor Jacob, and we talk about the future and what's it look like. What is God saying? I want to just tell you what God is saying to us. He is speaking to us. He wants to make an adjustment. You ever had the Lord talk to you and say, I want to make an adjustment? And so he's coming back to this church again, and he's saying, I want you to get back to something that you've lost. And we've lost something. But I want to tell you that the Lord's speaking to us, and we found it. And it's really a Bible word, and we're watching what happened in the what we're watching happen, the storm that came through. When I say storm, I mean 2020. We're watching this, what's happened, it's impacted the church across all of our campuses and across the church in America. As churches reopen, we're watching that we don't have what we had before the storm. The numbers aren't there. What do I mean? We're averaging about 50% of what we were pre-COVID, post-COVID. You go, where are they? Great question. You might want to use some Bible words. There's been a pruning. There's been a shaking. There's been a refiner's fire put to it, and everything that's not of God will burn away. Everything that is will remain. But I can say, it may even be a sifting where the enemy comes in and plucks those whose roots were not deep enough. That comes in and the cares of this life have gotten them. You're looking around the room right now because there was some people that used to sit beside you that aren't here yet. Can you do me a favor? Could you do Pastor Gabe a favor? If you look around the room and say, I haven't seen so-and-so since we've been back, then I want to encourage you to pick up the phone or send them a message saying, we miss you, because the enemy would like to be in the middle of this too. People get stuck, right? Okay, I don't know if any of you remember this. Your kids aren't going to remember this, but how many of you ever had one of those old turntables, a record player? How many of y'all remember that? Remember the record player? And you'd put it on, you know, and they go, hey, baby, give me one more chance. Y'all remember that? And then how many of you know every once in a while it'll get stuck? How many of you ever had to take a nickel and tape it on the top of your, that's poor people right there. That's like me. We couldn't afford a new needle. We just got a nickel. And we just taped it. Give me one more chance. Listen, people get stuck like that. And all they need is somebody to come along and just kind of get them along. So would y'all be your brother's keeper? Because you are your brother's keeper. Would you help us reach out to those that the enemy would love to sift during this moment to get them unstuck? Would you do that in Jesus' name? Amen? Thank you. Reach out to your brother. So what is God saying to us? Let me give you just a little bit of the early days, because this is where we started. Pastor Jacob used to preach, and then at the end, he would always do the same prayer at the very end. If you've been around here a long time, you would remember he'd stand up at the end of every service, and I'm going to do it for you today at the end, and say, now would you lift your hands to heaven? And he would say, and I want to pray a blessing over your life. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. And you're going out until you're coming in again. May all that you set your hands to, seeking first the kingdom of God, may he bless it and prosper it. And I bless you today in the name of the Father, his Son Jesus, and the all-abiding Holy Spirit. And you just say, I receive it. And the congregation would say, amen. I receive it. And then he used to do that. While he was doing it, he would actually be walking down the aisle as he was praying. And then he'd scare the devil out of you because you'd hear him. What was that? Because you were like this. And then he used to sit out there in the foyer, and it'd be anything. Somebody'd come up and go, Pastor Jacob, can I talk to you? My wife and I are having troubles. And he'd say, really? What's going on, man of God? Those who know him. Man of God, what's going on? He'd rub on your shoulder. And he'd listen just for a moment, then he'd go, hey, Ronnie Terrio, come over here. I want you to get with this guy. I want you to disciple him. And then a woman would come up and go, me and my husband are having trouble. Heidi, come here, Heidi. Get with this woman right here. Heidi's gonna help you. And that's how our church started, by discipling people. Everybody say discipleship. Listen to me. This is what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. We need to rediscover how we started. We need to go back to the Great Commission of discipling people again. Discipleship is not done in rows facing forward. It's done facing one another. And you're going to need, if you're going to be discipled, you'll always need two things. You're going to need a Bible and you're going to need a brother. If you're a girl, you're going to need the scripture and a sister. Did y'all see the way I did that? Bible and a brother, sister and scripture. You're going to need somebody who can help you navigate, because Christianity was never intended to be sitting in rows nodding your head. Christianity was meant to be standing face to face and helping walk with one another in this life. And we're going to get serious about discipleship, and it's coming to a campus near you. Can I get an amen? Now, let me give you a good definition of discipleship, because I think this is really key that you kind of understand what is discipleship. And I love what John Piper, one of the great Bible teachers of modern day, said about discipleship. And we're going to put it on the board for you. He said, first, people need to become Christians. Are there any Christians in this room? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is there any Christians in the room? You're going to heaven. You're saved. You're born again. Jesus is the Lord of your life. And well, can I just tell you, that's not the end goal of God. It's just the beginning step. It's not the end. It's the beginning. When I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. It was a relationship that I started with Jesus, and then there's a process or a road that we're all to walk called discipleship, that I become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Not just a Christian, but a disciple. I start becoming more like him. It's a process. By the way, it never ends. I'm still in process. And I love what Piper says. He says, people need to become Christians, and then people need to be taught how to, say it with me, think and feel and act as a Christian. That is a disciple. By the way, one of the things that is happening right now that I get so mad about, by the way, can I be honest with you? This is the Opelousas people. Since I'm here, I'm going to talk about them. Is that okay? Those Opelousas people, they are on that social media like crazy. And me and Heidi are on it, but we're only on it to watch what they say. Because I'm a pastor, right? That's my sheep. I'm supposed to be tending to my sheep. During this election, I've had to pick up the phone a dozen times and say, brother, you need to get that post off of there. That is divisive, stupid, and not even Christian-like. Well, I just believe and I think. I what? I think. Say it again. I think. Can we keep that up there, Mark, if you don't mind? Christians need to be taught how to think. By the way, can I just tell you that it was never our position to stand over the Bible and tell it what we think. Our position is to stand under the Bible, and it tells us how we should think. You with me? So how to think? Because if you think right, you'll usually act right. It usually begins in your thinking. And there's always a battle for what's going on between your ears. Always. And there's always competing voices trying to put inside of you what you should think. By the way, I'm going to give you some homework assignment. Push pause for a second. This is free. If you have Netflix, write this down. If you have Netflix, go watch a documentary called The Social Dilemma. And here's what it's about. Spoiler alert. It's about those who created Facebook, Google, Pinterest, all the social media platforms that were there on the ground floor building it, who are no longer in it and giving us the warnings about it. In fact, their children aren't on it. One of them, I read an article that he sends his kids to a school that don't allow iPads, phones, or any technology. Because they were talking about how it's polarizing America. Now we've gone from a shared truth to isolated tribes over what we think. Even in the political spectrum, there used to be a day when Republicans and Democrats had some of the same goals, they just had different ways to get there. They were civil with one another, even though they would disagree with one another. How many of you have noticed it's no longer civil? And both of them have a responsibility. By the way, I think we ought to be standing in the middle as referees. We shouldn't be wearing a jersey. But we ought to be standing, holding up the word of God, saying, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, and speaking to both of them. It's real quiet up in here. Have I made you mad yet? That is my goal. I want you to read, because here's what's happening. Social media, and they would tell you, they're trying to teach you what to think. The man who created the like button, he's apologizing. He goes, I didn't realize what it would do. That suicide rates among teenagers has quadrupled because there's little girls on there hoping they get likes. And when they don't, their self-image is torn down. And how the enemy is using it to polarize us and to divide us. Look at me. And it's happening in the church. Oh, quit acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. Because you've been in church before going, praise the Lord. And you look over there and going, I saw what they posted last week. I can't believe they're over there lifting their hands. Am I at the right church? Yes. All it's trying to do is capture what you... Listen, I need the word to wash. Let me show you what the scripture says. Let me show you what the scripture says when it comes to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Dang. I needed the Bible to change the way I think, and then I needed a brother that could walk with me to help me so I could talk to them and go, am I thinking right? The other day I pulled up to a animal shelter. We lost a dog. Yeah. Just a moment. Okay, I'm good. And so we were gonna go get a new dog. And I said, Heidi's like, I can't go. I'm just too heartbroken. So we have two dogs. We actually bought a farm. We call it a farm. It's a farm to us. We have three chickens and two dogs. It's a farm. I'm from the city. We're at a farm now. And so we lost one of the dogs, and the girl dog. The boy dog lives. He's good. And so we're like, well, let's go get a new girl dog. So I went by there. And the guy that was helping me at the shelter says, hey, I know you from somewhere. I said, really? He goes, yeah, where do I know you from? And I said, you ever go to church? And he goes, I do. I said, where do you go to church? Our Savior's Church. And I said, well, I'm the pastor of ours. He goes, oh, man, I haven't been in such a long time. I was like, so he goes, I'm so glad you're here. I want to ask you a question. It's a theological question, and I've been arguing with my friends about this question. And I'm thinking, right, this is going to be deep. You know, is homosexuality a sin? Is gay marriage biblical or not? I'm thinking he's going to go deep with me here. And he goes, do dogs go to heaven? I said, well, yeah, of course. He goes, dogs go to heaven? I said, yeah, they go to heaven. Are you sure? I said, of course. He said, what about cats? I said, they go to hell. Cats go to hell. And he goes, do they really? And I go, no, I don't think so. I think cats go to heaven too. He goes, really? You think cats go to heaven? I said, well, the Bible says at heaven, the lion will lay down with the lamb. The lion is nothing but a big cat. So if big cats are in heaven, surely smaller cats are in heaven too. You know, the kitty cat lays down with the mouse. I don't know. It could be. What am I telling you that for? He was asking, how should I think? If I think right, I'll feel right. Feelings, by the way, feelings can lie to you. Some of you got in trouble by feelings. You remember? Hey, girl. No, you was having feelings, and they ended up 2 days later, you're going, oh, my God, what was I thinking? No, you weren't thinking. Feelings can be a sign to you that you're not, can be like your idiot light in your car letting you know that you're not thinking right. Should I be feeling this way? Look at me. To be a disciple, I need the Bible and a brother who's walked before me that can help disciple me on how to think. I don't want to look over scriptures and say, this is what I think. I want to be under scripture and let it interpret me on how I should think. Everybody tracking with me so far? Y'all are so much smarter than the 9 a.m. service. I just want y'all to know that. Much smarter at the 11. The other day, I had to call Pastor Jacob the other day. I was driving down the road. This overwhelming, there was a man in our church who had a request of me. I wanted to say yes, but I needed to say no. And this overwhelming thought came to my mind, you're a people pleaser. This overwhelming, I didn't want to call him and say no. I needed to say no, and I knew I needed to say no. Because if I said yes to him, I was going to have to say no to Heidi. You don't say no to Heidi. I pulled the car over to the side of the road, called Pastor Jacob and said, I need my pastor. What's going on, man of God? I told him the situation. I said, I want to go do this. There's something in me that wants to go do it, but I shouldn't want to go do it. Am I a people pleaser? He said, man of God, let me help you out here, man of God. Pastor Eugene, in your flesh, you can be a people pleaser. In your flesh. But in the spirit, it's what makes you a great pastor. You care for people and you want to tend to the needs that people have. Let's get in the spirit. You need to call him and say, no, you're thinking right. You need to call him and say no, and so that you can say yes to your wife, which is more important, because you can't answer every need. And go, Pastor Eugene, listen to me. If you aren't going to meet the need, that just means they're going to have to depend on God to meet the need, which is what they need to do anyway, instead of depending on you, depend on God. Look at me. It never ends. It's always a process of learning how to think so that we'll feel the... Do you know how much peace I got when I got off the phone? Going, I'm thinking right. I'm a man of God. I'm a good pastor. Praise God. Hey, brother, no, I can't do that. Take that, devil. And he was like, thank you. And here I was in turmoil for 2 hours. I just needed a brother. I still need to be discipled. Because if I think right, I'll feel right. If I feel right, I'll end up acting right. Are y'all tracking with me? Let me show you in the Bible that, let me show you that I'm not just making this up. No, neither is Dr. Piper. Let me take you to the book of Acts chapter 2, and Cody is going to come help me close. Just walk across here, Cody. Don't worry about it. We're not on TV, are we? If we're on TV, are we on TV? This is Cody, y'all, on TV. If you're watching at home, watch us. Let me take you to the book of Acts chapter 2. We're going to put it on the board for you. Let me give the context. We're in Acts chapter 2. This is, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already raised from the dead. Booyah. He tells the disciples, go to Jerusalem. Passover's coming. Go to Jerusalem. There is an upper room. I want you to wait there for me. And when you get there, I'm going to send you the promised Holy Spirit. And so they do that. They go get in an upper room. Now, here's the context. All the Jews from surrounding nations, those born Jews and those who converted to Judaism, is all coming to Jerusalem. It's a big celebration of Passover. It would be the equivalent of Mardi Gras. How many of you have ever been to Mardi Gras? Yeah. Come on, you lie, you fry, you're in church. You'll go straight to hell if you're lying. How many of you have ever been to Mardi Gras? How many of you have ever been on a float in Mardi Gras? Raise your hand, okay. How many of you have ever fallen off of a float in Mardi Gras? Okay, some of you need to get saved, okay. They're in the upper room, 120 of them, worshiping the Lord, just like we were doing earlier today. Going, Holy Spirit, fall on us. We need your presence. And he does. He falls on them. And it said they even saw like tongues of fire falling on people. And they began to speak in tongues. That's what the Bible says. Tongues! Like languages they had never learned before. How many of you ever wanted to have taken Rosetta Stone? You wanted to learn another language? They started speaking without Rosetta Stone in other languages. The Jews that were on the street start hearing them praising God in their native tongues from all over. I mean, they're just going, whoa, what is happening? And that's where we tune into the story. So let's step in. In the book of Acts chapter 2, They all stood, the people on the street, they all stood there dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, "What is this phenomenon?" But others poked fun at them, saying, say with me, they are just what? They drunk on new wine. Listen to me. They thought they were drunk. They thought they were drunk. Then Peter steps forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews, residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are thinking." They're not drunk. "It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that." How many of you would ever confess you've ever been drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning? I see it. Thank you for being honest. You're going to go to heaven with dogs and cats. "It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams." And I see both in the room. He says, "In those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." And then he goes on to tell them, this Jesus lived a sinless life on this earth. He never sinned, though the scripture tells us he was tempted to sin, just like you and I are tempted to sin. He was tempted to get on Facebook and say some stupid stuff, just like you've done. He was tempted. He was tempted by the opposite sex, but never sinned. He was tempted to tell a lie, but didn't. He told the truth instead. And he died, but he's risen again from the dead to pay for the sins of the world. He's preaching to them. And then it goes on down to verse number 32. "Can't you see it? God has resurrected Jesus, and we've all seen him. Then God exalted him to the right hand upon the throne of highest honor, and the Father gave him the authority to send the promised Holy Spirit, which is being poured out upon us today." This is what you're seeing and you're hearing. You thought they were drunk, but that's not what you're seeing and hearing. Let me help you know what to think. I'm going to go down to verse number 36. "Now everyone in Israel can know for certain that Jesus, whom you crucified, is the one God has made, both Lord and the Messiah." Watch verse 37. "And when they heard this, they were what? Wait a minute. They thought they were drunk. And then Peter explained what had happened so they would think right. This is not what you assumed. This was that Jesus that came, lived this sinless life, died on the cross. I want to tell you what you're seeing was by the prophet Joel. And their eyes began to open. And he said, in fact, you crucified him. He was crucified for you. And you did it. And now they're starting to think right. Now they're acting right and feeling right. They're crushed. Oh my gosh. In fact, it goes on to say that they were crushed and realized what they had done to Jesus. And they were deeply moved. And then they said to Peter and the apostles, "What must we do?" Think. If you think right, you'll feel right, and if you feel right, you'll do right. What must we do? You know what happens, right? He says, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin, ask God to forgive you and turn from your sin. You need to be baptized. And then he said, then you need to receive the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says 3,000 were added on that very day. Isn't that awesome? Listen to me. Discipleship. Then they joined in homes and started getting discipled to teach them how to think, how to feel, and how to act. We're going to go back and discover discipleship. Jesus didn't say, go unto all the world and plant churches. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. I need it, and I need to be doing it all at the same time. Everybody tracking with me so far? Do you receive this word? You receive what I'm talking to? Okay, look, I'm going to finish. In conclusion, which is what preachers say when they're wrapping up. In conclusion, just so you know. I've probably done 150 weddings in my career. I like weddings. I see one of the weddings I did right here. I married y'all right here in this room. In fact, I'm going to talk about them in just a second. I'm going to talk about Flame. That's her name, Flame. I've done weddings right here. And I love weddings because they are symbolic of Christianity. It's the reason why the weddings are like they are, is because it's actually a presentation of the gospel in a wedding. The pastor, that's me, I stand here and I represent God in the picture, the Father. Because in a moment, those two are going to come down and I'm going to say, do you, as a father, do you covet? And the covenant is not just between the man and the woman. The covenant is between the woman to God and the man, and from the man to God and the woman. The three-chord strand that's not easily broken. And I represent the Father in the deal, right? Of course, the groom, he represents Jesus. And then the bride represents the church, represents y'all. And y'all know how weddings go, right? You've been there. We kind of got it all wrong. We got it all wrong. You know, weddings is usually the groom, he's in the back over here. The bride, I mean, it's all about her that day, right? It's her day. In fact, we've got a room over here in this building called the bride's room. Does the groom get a room? No, the bride gets a room, but the groom don't get no room. In fact, the groom's got to be backstage. We just stand back here. And then at some appropriate time, y'all are all here waiting for the wedding to start. And then they come back there and they say, Pastor, it's time. And then the pastor, he walks up here. And then the groom just kind of walks behind. He just walked behind. Pastor stands here, groom. And then he stands here. And you've seen how the groom's dressed, right? What's he usually wearing? A tuxedo that he rented. It cost him $79.99. Have you seen those shoes that they give you with the tuxedo? They are the cheesiest shoes. He's up there. He's got a boutonniere that his grandma put on him behind there. It ain't even real. He just stands there. This isn't even his clothes. And he's got to return it back as soon as the wedding's over because some other fool's waiting for it next week. Somebody was wearing it last week, he's wearing it this week, and somebody else will be wearing it next week. But not her. Oh, no. She's been Pinteresting since she was 12. Mama, do you like this one? I mean, I don't know. Is that too low in the front? I don't know. I'm kind of going backless on the mermaid. I don't know. What do you think? Then her and her friends and sisters are going to travel all over America looking for that dress, the dress. The dress, right? The, not a dress, but the dress. They go, oh, is this, how's this, does it feel? I don't know. They're going to spend thousands of dollars on this dress that she's going to wear once. Once. You're thinking, some of you girls are here thinking, I don't even know where my dress is. I know, you don't even know where your dress is. And then you're going to come here, you're going to get in the bride's room, and you're going to put, everybody's going to get around, who's doing your hair? Who's doing your makeup? Nobody worried about him. Nobody. Ain't nobody back there going, hey, let me make sure your hair looks good. Nobody says nothing. He's back there with me. We're standing back there. I'm going, hey, man, keep your knees. Don't bend your knee. I mean, keep your knee. You don't want to pass out. All right, that's it. Yeah, just say I do. What I say I do, you say I do. Okay, all right, that's it. Here we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. Nobody stands up when he walks out. He's just standing there. And they're just looking at him. He looks so peaceful. He looks good. He looks good. And then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Then the little kids come down. They drop stuff. Little kids come down. They run out. Everybody walks up here. Everybody's standing up here. Everybody's going. And then all of a sudden, the music is going. He doesn't even get no music. He don't get no song. Nothing. No song, no special suit, no makeup, no hair, nothing. I don't even know why he's here. And then she's going to come up. And what are we all going to do? Oh, here comes the bride. Everybody, oh. Here she comes. Look at her. She looks. Oh, she's so beautiful. I've been doing 150 of these. I ain't never seen an ugly bride, ever. Now, she didn't look all that pretty before the wedding, but at the wedding, she looked pretty good. You know what I'm saying? There's some ugly women that have made beautiful brides. Oh, quit. You think it too. She looks so beautiful. Yeah, I can wait till tomorrow. And guess what color her dress is?
White.
White, which represents purity. Let's be honest. How many of you ever whispered over and said, I don't know what she's doing wearing white? She must have repented before she put that on. Oh, quit acting like you thought that. You thought that. She gonna walk up here. Flowers, bouquet. He ain't get no flower. She got a bouquet of flowers. He don't get nothing. They're gonna go to the reception after the wedding. She gonna have a cake. It's gonna be this tall. Beautiful. Beautiful. He gets a little prop. He like the little guy up there. And then over here, you got his little cake. It's like a football, like a chocolate football. Then you got a super one. She gonna walk up here, flowers and everything. And then she got little attendants. And then she gonna go, here, take my flowers. I'm ready. He ain't got no attendants. Ain't nobody running around him going, you look good, buddy. You look good, man. The wedding is symbolic. We just got it all wrong. We shouldn't be waiting on the bride. The bride ought to be up here waiting for the groom. It ain't about the bride. It's about the groom. It's about the groom. It's about the groom. And the groom said, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples. I don't care about planting churches. I want you to make disciples. I want you to go and teach people what I've taught you. Look at me. Some of you go, well, I need to be a disciple. I know you do. I know you do. But there's somebody behind you too. That you've been in it longer than they have. That you could say, hey, man of God, no, let me help you treat our wives. No, let me help you with your kids. I can help you. Just help me to think like a Christian so I can feel. Right now I'm full of anxiousness when I don't have to be, because if I thought right that God is on the throne and the earth is his footstool, I ain't fearful of COVID-19. If I get it, I'll get over it. Are you with me? Hey, even if I don't, I'll go to heaven, and y'all can have a funeral and tell funny stories about me and eat chicken and potato salad. Listen, we got to get back to it's about him. It's not about us, and getting back to what he's commanded us to do. It's about discipleship. Next week, Pastor Gabe's going to come up and going to really preach part two of this message. He's going to hold up a book just like this one. Dr. Scott wrote this book. It's just a tool that we can start meeting one-on-one, not in rows, but face-to-face, and helping people just get the word back in them so the roots can go deep, because this ain't the last storm that's coming. Are you hearing me? Is it going to get worse, Pastor? Yep. It's going to get darker, but it's going to get brighter all at the same time. It's going to get darker out there, but it's going to get brighter in here. And God wants to use you to be a sample to the world of what peace really looks like. Peace in the midst of a storm, whose roots go down deep, whose leaf does not wither, and he produces fruit in season, Psalms 1. And it's going to be you. This tool, just a tool to get the word in us and to get with a brother or a sister that can help you think right, so you can feel right, so we can act right. Do y'all receive this word today, Broussard? You receive it? You receive it? I want to pray for you right now. Father, I just pray that this word would go down deep into our spirit. You're calling us back. And this is where it all began, right here in Broussard. Right here on this stage, this platform. The dream, the vision of what we're seeing happen across our Savior's church began right here. And we're back home again, where it all began, where we were discipling. Father, forgive us. We got our eye off the prize. We're going back to the original purpose and design of making disciples again. I pray, Father, that there will be divine, supernatural connections in this household, connecting one to someone who can disciple them, and then also connecting them to someone they can disciple. Father, we're going to get busy about your commission to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey your word and your command, to think, feel, and act like you do. In Jesus' name. With head bowed, and Christians, would you keep praying right now? I just want to give an opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he lived that sinless life, rose again from the third day so you and I wouldn't have to die either. He came back from death so we wouldn't have to die. You mean we'll never die? No, that just means my last breath on earth is my first breath in heaven. And that he came to be sin. God made the sins of the world and put them on Jesus, and when he died on the cross to pay the price for it. But you have to access that forgiveness. It's called repentance. You got to ask God to forgive you. And maybe you're here today and you're lost. You're not born again. And today could be your day that you are. All you have to do is A, admit you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Christ came to be the sin bearer, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame. And C, to confess him as Lord and Savior. If that's you today, I'd like to pray with you. If you're here today and say, Pastor Eugene, I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to be born again today. First step to become a Christian. I want to be born again. I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand high all over the building? No one's looking up at me. Say, I'd like to be born again today. Hold it up high. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Real quick. Congregation, let's pray with these who raised their hand today. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Can we give God all the praise for that?